Ramchal in Amsterdam, is that where he was machaber the Sefer Mesilas Yesharim, which remains to be one of the most popular Sfarim on Musar and revered by all segments of the Jewish population. In 1742, actually, Ramchal there printed another Sefer, which is called Derech Tfunos, The Ways of Understanding. The Sefer Derech Tfunos happens to be a Sefer, which deals with Havon and Derech HaLimud, giving a structure and a style of how to learn Talmud, how to understand Pilpul in a short form, the way that he wrote it. And it's a very, very interesting Sefer and a very, very important Sefer. And they had also the Haskomas of the great Rabbonim of Amsterdam of the time, with some of them we mentioned. One of them was Rabbi David Yisrael Atias, who was one of the great Rabbonim of Amsterdam, and also Rabbi Yisrael Chaim de Bruto. Interesting to point out parenthetically to have an idea who these two Rabbonim were. Again, these are names that today we're not so familiar with. But these two Rabbonim that Ramchal took Haskoma from were the same two Rabbonim that also the Arachayim HaKadosh took Haskomas from. Now let's point out something. We're aware of the Sefer Arachayim that the Arachayim HaKadosh wrote. His name was Reb Chaim Ben Attar. That was his name. But he also wrote a Sefer called Chefetz Hashem. The Sefer Chefetz Hashem is a Sefer on Masechtas Brachos and on Masechtas Shabbos. It's a very, very unusual Hakdoma that the Arachayim writes to that Sefer. Usually when someone writes a Sefer, do anything possible to make the Sefer as popular as you can. If you want to have as many people to try to learn and to be able to publicize it, to get the Sefer around, try to find a distributor to make sure that it gets all over. Chaim HaKadosh writes a very unique Hakdoma. And in some sense, it's really a frightening Hakdoma. In that Sefer Chefetz Hashem, not only Arachayim on Chumash, he didn't write that. But an introduction to the Sefer Chefetz Hashem, he says, anyone, he says, who wants to open and learn my Sefer, make sure that you're learning Torah Lishma. Is if you're not learning Torah Lishma, he heaps a whole bunch of frightening statements that what might happen to that person. So in a certain sense, he's scaring everybody away, you know, from studying that Sefer. Maybe that might be one of the reasons that the Sefer really is not as well known as it should be. But in spite of all that, the Sefer had been reprinted in a beautiful print to make it easier to learn. And somehow, I guess, the Hakdom of the Sefer maybe not been taken too seriously by many. In any case, that's a very unusual type of introduction. So on the Sefer Chefetz Hashem, the Chaim takes us coming from these two Rabbonim. From W. So Atias, as well as we mentioned, Rabbi Yisrael Chaim de Bruto. So again, the Ramchal also had us come on his Sefer, Derech Tfunos, from these two great Rabbonim. In addition to that, just you know, a lot of Sfarim Ramchal was not zoichet to see that printed b'chayov, but Mesilas Yesharim was published during his lifetime, as well as the Sefer Derech Tfunos was also published during his lifetime. And also there's another Sefer which was published during his lifetime, and in Amsterdam he wrote quite a lot of Sfarim, but nevertheless they were not published during his lifetime. We might mention in the future about some of the other Sfarim. At this time now, the Ramchal feels it's time to move on from Amsterdam. Finally, yes, he found a place, a safe haven, where he was able to somehow to protect himself and finally be at peace from all of the onslaught of the opposition that he had suffered for so many years. And he said he's done, but his purpose was not to be in Amsterdam. His purpose was, this was really a station to go on further and to go to Eretz Yisrael. So finally, the Ramchal now made up his mind, it's time now to move on to Eretz Yisrael. That was, by the way, his whole tachlis of leaving Padua, his original place. So it was in 1743 that Ramchal moves on from Amsterdam. And he moves on with his entire family, not only his family, but also he had very loyal to meet him who could not bear to part with him, to see that he leaves. So he had friends, admirers, Talmidim, family, who also went with him, Roy Lutetz Yisrael with Ramchal. And it's not very clear exactly what month, it's not recorded that he had arrived in Eretz Yisrael. We know the year. The year was 1743. But Okoponim, what we do find is, in a letter, that in Chodesh Tammuz of 1743 he was already there. So when he arrived, Was it in Sivan? Was it a month earlier? We don't know exactly when he actually arrived, but we know that in the month of Tammuz, Tov Kuf Gimel, 1743, Ramchal already was in Eretz Yisrael, and we find letters that he wrote from Eretz Yisrael. He wrote to his Talmidim in Amsterdam. He kept contact, communicated with them in Amsterdam, and as well as in Padua. And exactly who are the names of the Talmidim that went with him? Eretz Yisrael also is not exactly recorded. All we know is that he did not simply leave him with his family alone, but he had many others also went along with him to Eretz Yisrael. But it seems from one place clear that this one Talmud that we know of, which would have to be a very, very strong royal Talmud, but then we had mentioned all the way in the beginning, Rabbi Kasil Gordon, who is a Talmud Chovev, a very beloved Talmud, a very royal Talmud, Ramchal, just named to refresh the memory of the Yolam. He actually came to Padua, the Ketchila was to study medicine, to become a doctor. And there in Padua he comes and he realizes that there is someone, Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lusato, known short form as the Ramchal, who had a yeshiva. And decided, I want to get to know this man. And it just became contagious. As soon as he became to the Gno, to Ramchal, came close to Ramchal, he decided that this is it. I want to stay here, and I want to sit and learn Torah in the yeshiva of the Ramchal. I want to become a devoted Talmud. And he had in mind, as a matter of fact, to abandon his whole idea of becoming a doctor, of studying medicine. However, as we had mentioned, that Ramchal had a magid. Well, that was part of the things that the opposition, they said it was all fantasy, he's making it up, it's a fraud, no malach comes to any human being, certainly in our generation, the 1700s, no one is zeicher to have, to be such a merit, to have a malach coming to teach you. And that was what Ramchal claimed, and recorded the Torah, as a matter of fact, that he was taught by the magid that he had. And the magid said, no, he says, he came here for that purpose, he'll be a Talmud, but at the same time, let him study medicine. Again, what the reason behind that is not clear, but this was, the fact is, that this was the instructions of the magid, that he should continue. The Vasil Gord actually inadvertently, Bishoygeg, unwittingly, was really the cause of all the controversy, because he was the one, he was so despoiled, could not believe to see the greatness of Ramchal that he saw, and he wrote. He wrote things that he saw personally, firsthand. He wrote a letter to somebody called Mordechai Yaffe, modernized Mordechai Jaffe. So Mordechai Yaffe, he writes a letter to him about all the amazing, amazing things about a human being, he says, in our generation, who can amount to such godless and kedusha. And Mordechai Yaffe went ahead and he took that letter, and he went and moved it further. And when certain Rabbanim saw that, again, right away the suspicion arose that he is a follower and adherer of Shabbosai Tzvi, as we mentioned, because we're still on the heels. The world was not healed yet from the repercussions and the things that happened during that particular very difficult period with Shabbosai Tzvi, which many, many were caught up in that web. And of course, you know, Bianca Vempen was one of the great loichimim against that, among many others as well. But that way, right away, this suspicion arose that this person who's so steeped in Kabbalah, someone like Ramchal, it cannot be that he is not, if not openly, at least secretly, he must be an admirer of Shabbosai Tzvi, and he is basically propagating and trying to spread the teachings of Shabbosai Tzvi. So this would be because Kasil Gordon was the one actually, he had no havim in it, that this is going to really ignite. It really ignites such a fire and flames of fury in the world, which lasted many, many years and caused so much strife and so much pain to Ramchal, his beloved Rebbe. And no havim that this is going to happen. But this inside, this is what happened. So Bishil Gordon, again, is known, we have recorded that he was one of those, as a matter of fact, who went with the Ramchal when he left Italy, Amsterdam, to go to Eretz Yisrael, where Bishil Gordon was among them. Now, what we know is that Ramchal, when he arrives at Yisrael, he arrived in Akko, that's the port, as you know, and he remained there for a while. He was there in Akko and lived there a certain amount of time. He was in Eretz Yisrael, it was about a three-year period. We're not exactly sure what transpired, again, with Ramchal. In a three-year period, being in Eretz Yisrael, it's not clear. We know that for a while also he lived in Yerushalayim. In other words, he left Akko to go down to Yerushalayim, which is from one end of Eretz Yisrael down to the other end in Yerushalayim. And some of the Talmidim also, again, went with him. And it's recorded the tremendous Kovet. When the Gedolim of Yerushalayim, when they heard that Ramchal was coming to Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, that he made a grand Kabbalah upon him. They all went out to be Mekabel him, and to give him the tremendous cover that he deserved. All the Gedolim of Eretz Yisrael, all those in Yerushalayim and surroundings, were Mechabed him with tremendous covet, and referred to him with the title called Boitzina Kadisha, which is a phrase in the Zohar, the holy candle, which means the holy one that illuminates the world, Boitzina Kadisha. Many Sfarim, you find that this is written about some great Rebbes, among the titles that you might write on them, the Divachayim of Sons of Kedayim and so on, have this title, or Talmid Baal Shem Tov, Boitzina Kedisha, the holy candle, the holy illuminators who illuminate the world with their Kedusha. And this is what they call, this is what they refer to, the Ramchal. And it is quite accepted that Ramchal wrote quite a number of Sfarim as well while he was in Eretz Yisrael. One of the Sfarim is a sefer called Kelach Pischei Chochma. Kelach is a number, Kuf Lamed Ches, 138 entrances into the world of wisdom. That's the name of the sefer. That's the sefer that he wrote over there. And all the time that he was in Eretz Yisrael, he kept communications open with his Talmidim, both in Padua, and also with the Talmidim and his admirers that he had in Amsterdam. As I said, but when he said to Rabin, the generation was not zeichet to have the Ramchal be Marach Yomen, such a great man. And it was in 1746, 3 years after arriving to Eretz Yisrael, there was a tremendous magefa, a terrible magefa, an epidemic, or sort of like a plague. And it basically started out somewhere in the area of Yerushalayim and took many, many lives. They had no refuah for that. Ramchal, sensing the danger, so he decides it's not a good place, and therefore he goes back to Akko, where he came from. However, the plague spread, did not remain localized in one area, and therefore it spread also to the area of Akko, and it was Ramchal and his entire family. Mamish perished in the year 1746. Ramchal at the tender age of 39 or 40 years old. That was the entire life of the Ramchal. And the Talmidim, they carried Ramchal to take him to the Mokim Kvura, is in Tveria, right next to the cave of Rabbi Akiva. Anybody who was in Israel, you went by the cave of Rabbi Akiva, you'll see right next to there, you find the cave of Ramchal, with an inscription over there. And it is pointed out also that there was the reason why they were mishtadel, why they sought to it, to bring him all the way. Imagine those days, even today it's not around the corner, but upon them, those days it was quite a trip to go from Akko to go down to Tveria. The reason was because Ramchal had mentioned that his neshama was a nitzutz, was a spark of Rabbi Akiva, of the great town of Rabbi Akiva. And therefore they felt that the two neshamas sit side by side and be together. As a matter of fact, that he said, not sure exactly the strong source of that, but it is said, as a matter of fact, that Ramchal, actually, as he said, he lived just about 40. He came to be Misakin. His neshama was a spark of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva started at what age? At the age of 40. Which Rabbi Akiva lost out the first 40 years of his life. But nevertheless, he became the greatest Tana of all time. After the Kach, that we find the Chazal, that there were certain things that were not revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu, let us tell you, were revealed to Rabbi Akiva. So as mentioned in Medrash, that there are certain things that were not revealed even to Moshe Rabbeinu, were revealed to Rabbi Akiva. The Pasuk in Mishlei, V'chol Yoko Ra'asa Eino, everything precious saw his eyes. Who are his eyes? The Chazal Rabbi Akiva. Akiva saw everything precious, which means even certain things that Moshe Rabbeinu did not see, Rabbi Akiva saw it. So now, but Rabbi Akiva lost out the first 40 years of his life. First of all, look what a person can accomplish. Even if you start out late in life, that should be a lesson for everybody. You don't have to become a Rabbi Akiva, necessarily. But you certainly can become much more than one expects, even no matter how late one starts in life. So anyway, so these first 40 years of Rabbi Akiva's life, Lamaisa, were years of unaccomplished. Ramchal lived those 40 years, as if to say is, he's a nitzutz, his neshama is an extension of Rabbi Akiva, to be misakin, and to rectify those 40 years that Rabbi Akiva lost. So now Ramchal was mashlim those 40 years. There was a sign and letters coming out in Tveria regarding the announcement about the Petira of Ramchal, which was publicized and sent all over Europe. And it came out, and basically there we have a record of the ksav, or the poster, as it were, regarding, I'll read you some of the lines, regarding by the Petir of the Ramchal. And basically it reads, there's a baskoil yoitzis mitveria. There's a baskoil. There's a tremendous sound. The sound is coming out of Tveria, machrezes voimeris. And the Baskel is crying out and it is saying, El Hehorim Esa Bechi Venehi. It is all over the mountains that I will raise my voice in crying and in mourning. Echa Yoshua Bodod. And now we have become desolate. We have become abandoned. Hatsura Tom and Peloi Kodesh Baruch Hu, of course, whatever he does is complete. Ki Kol Ruach of Mishpat. Whatever Kodesh Baruch Hu, all his ways are just. Ke Lamuna Ve'Novel, there's something we say at Levayis, of course, Tzadik Adin. Tzadik V'Yosha, who was mentioned in that poster. Shimu Shomayim Va'azinu Eretz. Let the heavens hear. Lashon of Yeshaya Novi. Shimu Shomayim Va'azinu Eretz. Let the Shomayim, let the heavens and the earth, let them hear and hearken. The godly mekubel, Rechev Yisrael Parashav, the chariot of Klal Yisrael and its horsemen. This was the lesson that Yeshaya Novi said when he lost Eliyahu Novi. Eliyahu Novi left him, went up to Shemayim. So this was the lesson, the expression that Yeshaya said, Rechev Yisrael. He was the chariot of Klal Yisrael and its horsemen. Or it was the light Shehoyah be Yisrael. The light that we had, the Klal Yisrael had, B'tzina Kadisha, the holy candle. Marona v'rabona moreinu harav v'moshe chayim l'satu zecher l'chaya oylam habod nifter hu v'chol b'nedesa b'mageifo. This was written. He and his entire family passed away lifnei Hashem b'ir akor. V'nikva b'teveria eitzlu Rabbi Akiva olav ha'shomen. And he was buried next to Rabbi Akiva. Ashrei chelkoi b'olam hazeh. How fortunate is this chelik of Ramchal in this world of Olam Habo. But oilonu, but woe is to us, ki nofla teres v'sheinu. We have lost the crown of our head. So u'e re'u kama godlo yezachusa shel atzadik hazeh. Come and see was on the poster of the great chus, how many, many were not zeiche those days to go to Eretz Yisrael. Many attempted, never made it. Especially Ramchal, whatever he went through, all that he went through, be very unlikely they would ever have the schus to go up to Eretz Yisrael. And yet he did. Kama godlo yizchuso shel atzadik, ki oiza min hanimnaat bedover, would seem to be prevented from him. Tloi efshe shoye yocha leilich baru kadisha. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mesaves sibus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the cause of all causes. Lokhoi took him al kan finisharim. He took him on the wings of an eagle, as if to say, B'derech HaTev, he never would have made it. But the riding test is short, for him to be able to succeed in the riding test is short, this is the Lamala B'derech HaTev. The Hevira B'Artsa HaKadosha, Eitzer Rabbi Akiva V'Nifter, Chov Vov Chodesh Ir. The Yod site is Chov Vov Ir. As we mentioned, it was Tov Kuv Gimel Tzev, 1746. So the poster ends, Lochein, He's a Haru Lasa, He's Hespe Godel. Make sure wherever this notice, wherever you hear, make sure that you make a hesped godel ki evel godel zalonu, because it's tremendous period of mourning for us. Ki gedoyla ha-sreifa se-shov Hashem. Tremendous sreifa that HaKadosh Baruch Hu crawled and burned. Ki toiris emes oisem befiu, his toir was emes. Ve'avlo le-nimsa besosof. Nothing ovel came out of his lips. Everything was pure and holy. Ve'rabim heishem miyavo, and he brought back so many from sin. Like Kombi Yisrael to Moshe, there was no other Moshe like this Moshe, and this Moshe Chaim of Satu, and so on and so forth. As he says, so Ato Im Bidenu, there's nothing left for us, says the poster. On the Tzadik Zadin, we have to say, whatever you do, your ways are just, even though we don't understand it, and we have to say, Veloima Baruch Dino Emes, Tzadik Hua Kodesh Baruch Hu, Tzadik V'Tzadik Dino, your judgment is Tzadik, Yerotzen Shbolem Habo, Yechokeinu B'mchitzos HaKadosh, Halavai Yenolem Habo, Kshav Shtikol Chelik, to be in the Mechitza of the Ramchal, Omen Ken Yerotzen, that was the send the poster. So you have a little bit of an idea, a little bit how the world, you know, imagine this tremendous rush, this sudden, unexpected young patira of such a tree, and which contributed so much, I think, to the world, in spite of being so short-lived. So as Hashem, next week we'll continue further, not after Tchis HaMesim, but still before that period. So we go Rabbi Yisai, let's take a look at the Derech Hashem, it's Daf Nun. Daf Nun, we continue in the edition of the Ramchal that you have, Daf Nun, which is, the paragraph is Dalet, paragraph Dalet. Now, Ramchal mentioned in the previous segments that there's a kesher between this lower world and the upper worlds. Abkedei Kach, Ramchal mentioned that whatever exists and happens in this physical world is merely a copy of the spiritual world above. In other words, it is the influences of the spiritual world above that influences what happens down on this world. That what Ramchal posited, as we had before in previous segments, right, the connection between this physical lower world to the upper worlds. And this world is basically, it's a copy of what's taking place in the spiritual world, and therefore what happens in the spiritual world, it evolves down to us down here in the lower world. Now continues Ramchal and says, so the inner with the Ishayu is there, according to this principle. So it says, so let me tell you again, he says, Tchilas kol ha-havayos l'maylo, whatever exists l'maylo, up above, he says, b'koyches ol-yaynim, another one, the beginning of all forms, he's basically saying, the beginning of all forms of existence starts above, doesn't start down here. Again, Tchilas kol ha-havayos, the beginning of all forms of existence, they belong up in the upper worlds, in the upper forces. The Saifam Lamato Bishfalim. And they only culminate later below in this lowly physical world down here. So Bikitsa again, so the physical world is the culmination of the Kaikis above. The Kaikis above determine what happens down here in this lowly physical world. And then it goes on further. The Chain. Also, Tchilas Kol Inyonin, Hamischachim Lamalo, the beginning of all changes that are first initiated above. Things that change down here don't start down here. They're not initiated down here. Again, Tchilas Kol Inyonin, Hamischachim Lamalo, all the beginning of changes that are initiated of above, the Soifon Lamato, then they come like below in the physical world. Then we have them here below in the physical world. So again, as Ramchal already explained now, that everything that occurs to the physical beings in this world is rooted in the Kirchis above. There's one exception. There's one exception that is not linked to the world above. Everything, as we say, that happens down here in the physical world is linked to the upper world. There's one exception down here that's not linked, and that is man. Man determines his situation by his own doing, because man has a bechira, man has a choice. And therefore, although we mention that the world down here, that the physical being of this world is rooted in the kaifas above in the upper world, that refers to anything that's being created, anything around. However, he says, prat echot. There's one prat, there's one exception, one specific inyan. Yesh, sheyotze min haklal hazeh. That's an exception to the rule. The who? And that is, ma shenegeya lebechirosoi shel adam. What relates to the free will of man. Which means to say is, this is the unique feature that man has, and no other creature has. No other creature has such a thing as free will. And of course, again, to explain it, as Loyola explained it, Loyola said, what do you mean, no creature has free will? Well, if an animal wants to eat, she eats. If she doesn't, she doesn't. If she wants to go there, she goes. If she doesn't, she doesn't. So an animal also has free will. So you're making a mistake. You don't understand what free will is. An animal has free will to do what her desires want her to do. An animal hasn't got free will to go against her desire, against her nature. If an animal's nature says that she has to eat, she can't make a conscious decision, I'm not going to eat, because it's not good for me, it's not healthy for me. When we say man has free will, it means he has the free will, he has the choice and the ability to go against human nature. That only man has. That's the definition of Bechira. So now, he says, it goes on to point out, man has, as we said, this extraordinary feature of being free-willed. Nothing else we find in this physical world, right? Nothing else. And therefore, it points out, why did Hashem give man free will? Quite simply, because that's his avodah in this world. Why did Hashem create him? Ki kivin sherotzo odoim, yizborach shemoi, being that this is what Hashem wanted, that what? Sheyu ha-yecholos l'yodom libchoe b'ma sheyirtze min ha-toivim in ha-ra. Ki Baruch wanted that man should have the ability to choose. He has the ability to choose whatever he wants from good, right, or bad. So therefore, in order to have the ability to choose from good or bad, so regarding man, because Baruch made him completely independent. He's not totally in anything. He's not totally bizulosoi. There's nothing outside of him that he's linked to, that he's dependent on. Because Baruch Hu made it that way, built it, toloi, bozeh, bisolosoi, he's not independent of anything outside of himself. He's only dependent on himself. That's what it depends on. Quite simply understood means, because if in fact, if there would be a higher force, if there would be a higher force that could influence man's ability to make decisions, then his decisions would not be free will. So therefore, that can't be. So Akash Baruch said, no, you are the totally. You have the koyach, you have the ability, you have the dominant force in your body, and you are the one who can make the decisions. The Adrabe, on the contrary, he says, not only koyach, in other words, what do you mean on the contrary? Not only, the upper roles don't influence man, listen to what Ramchal says, and we had Nefesh HaChaim, Reb Chaim Volozhin last week. Again, not only do the upper worlds not influence man, because man has a bechira, the other way around. Man influences the upper worlds. That's the koyach of man. If you want to have a soge, to have a little bit, right, of insight, the slightest, the godless olam, the greatness of man, the far-reaching, the tremendous powers of man, that not only is he not influenced by the upper worlds as all the other beings, but just the opposite. Man is the one that can determine what happens in the olam misoyeinim. Ramchal points it out here. Adrab. Noso moi koyach, liyas mania le oilom. Atzmoi uli b'yoysov. Hashem gave man the power, right, to be mania, to affect the world itself and its creatures. Right? Le oilom atzmoi uli b'yoysov. Man has the power to affect, as we'll see, kifam she yivcha b'chetsoi. According to what he chooses willfully, b'chetsoi. It's up to him. If he wants to. Man has that koyach. So therefore now we find out that not only is man independent of any higher force, but also he has the ability to actually affect those koyaches through his own decision-making process. That's the koyach. That's the koyach that man has. And so we see, as we go now further, so based upon the above, so now Ramchal goes on to describe that it comes out that in this world we have an existence of two opposite movements that are functioning in the world. Looking at this world, we have two opposite movements that are functioning in this world. The Nimsu. So consequently, based upon what I said, says Ramchal, it comes out the Nimsu Ba'olam Shtei Tenuos Kololiyos, right? Hefchiyos. It finds out we have two general movements, right? Shtei tenuos kololiyos, two general movements, but they are hafchiyos, but they are opposites. They are opposites in the world. So, how do we define these two movements? Ramchal defines them and then explains them, okay? There are two movements, the two general movements in the world. Ho'achas, one is tivis mukhrachas. Let's remember this word. Tivis mukhrachas. One is a world which is compelled by natural causes. The natural causes. The sun comes up, right? The sun does what the sun does, the moon does what the moon does, nature does what nature does. Nature does what nature does. Again, ho'achas, one movement is tivis, right? Mukhrachas. It's tivis mukhrachas. It means it's compelled by natural causes. It's compelled by natural causes. And when we say it's compelled, basically, according to what Ramchal said above, means those events in the physical world are determined by what determines these natural causes. What determines nature? There's no such thing as nature. Hashem created nature, right? To us, it's nature. But how does it work? But the way it works is the events in the physical world are determined by the koyaches to which they are connected. As we said, the physical world is connected by the upper world. So we have is the events in the physical world are determined by the koyaches of the upper world. That's one. Vashniyo. And then there is a second movement in this world, and that is bechiris, which is free will, which means man. Man's freedom of choice. Right, as we said, as a matter of fact, not only he's not affected, he affects the koyaches, as Ramchal goes on to explain. So again, the two general movements. One is a natural movement, right, which is compelled, it's mukhrach. Means it's mukhrach, it takes place by natural causes, as we pointed out, that these causes are determined by the upper world. And Vashniyah, the second one, is bechilius. Basically, it is free will. So now it goes out. The difference between these two. The first one, for example, the first one was we call tivis mukhrachas, the one that's compelled by nature. by natural causes. That works milmalo lamato. That works from above going down. Ho'achas means the first one is milmalo lamato. It's activated from above. It's activated from above downward. As mentioned before, in other words, what happens in this physical world, it's activated from the spiritual realm, milmalo, going down lamato, down to this physical world. Vashniya, but the second one we said is the free-willed one, man. The second one is the opposite, it's mamato lamalo. It's not from up, coming down. It's not being determined from what's up. Free will, man. Man's actions go the other direction. It starts down here and goes up. Vashniya milmato lamalo. On the other hand, the second one is activated from below. It's activated from below here from this physical world. And it goes upwards to the spiritual realm. Okay, so the first one that we said, the first physical world that we have, the physical world, other than man, the physical world that we said is milmalo lamato. What happens down here is determined from above. So it goes on to explain. Hamukhrakas, the first one, which we said, that's compelled by natural causes, hiatnua, that's the movement, shemisnoi'aim ashfolim, right? The lowly physical beings are influenced by koyches olyoim, right? As we have said till now. That is the first one. The first, that's what it means, milmalo lamato. What happens down here, by natural causes, but this is basically the influence. They're influenced by the upper world. Influenced by the upper world. The hinehi, and therefore this is milmalo lamato. That's the movement that's activated, right, from the upper down. From the upper spiritual world down here to the lowly world. The second one, man's role, that was the free will movement. The movement of free will. Habechirius. However, the movement of free will, himasho ha'odom mania bebechirosoi, that which man is able to affect through his choices. Right, through his choices. So the question is, how can a mere physical being, man who is a mere physical being, how could a man who is a mere physical being affect the spiritual realm? So Rabbi Chaim explains how it works. How could a man who is physical, how could it have an effect on a spiritual world? What shaykhah does man have to a physical, totally physical being? How can he have a shaykhah? How can he influence what's happening in the upper worlds? So it goes on. Vihine, I want you to understand that mashu humaniya, that which man affects directly, can only be also something physical. From a direct standpoint, he's physical, so from a direct standpoint can also only affect something that's physical. It means man can affect, right, being something physical, so man can also only affect, right, through physical. Man is a physical being, and his actions are physical nature, right, physical nature. No, however, because Boko made a chain, there's a link. Maybe man is physical, but sort of like a remote control. But being that Boko created a link, Ramchal mentioned we had in previous segments as we had last week, that is like a chain. Like a chain. So Kodesh made, there's a linkage between the association. There's an association that exists between, right, the upper forces and the physical beings. Right? In other words, the two realms, the spiritual world and the lower world, are, Ramchal mentioned, they're always connected like links in a chain. So they may be two separate beings, but they are connected like links in a chain. So therefore, if they are connected like links in a chain, so mamela, one affects the other. So hine, bisnoya hagashmi, when man affects the physical being, yagia behemshech, right? So in other words, the consequence, behemshech, of what he does, or the impetus of what he does, will reach, right? Yagia behemshech hahispa'alus, right? The impetus of what he did, elakoyecho elu yisholov, it will reach the upper forces above. So in other words, when you think about linkage, sometimes linkage might only be a one-way street, in one direction. Now, Chaim is telling us that the linkage between the two realms, between the spiritual realm and the physical realm, is not a one-way street from the spiritual down to the physical world. Because we had that before, right? That's the general world. There's a linkage. There's a linkage between the spiritual world to the physical world. From Chaim said, but this linkage goes both ways. That man, on the other hand, down here, whatever he does down here, he activates, and the impetus of what is this, his actions, have influence on the upper world. So it goes the other way also, in the other direction. So it has an effect what man does down here on the forces above. So therefore, that's the result. What man does here, Lamaisa, has effect above. So Atnua Hazois, it means that this force is Mamato Lamalo. It now emerges that this movement is activated from the lower physical world to the higher realm. Right? So that it is. The source of influence starts in the lower, through man, right? And it affects the higher spiritual realm, the higher spiritual world. Hepech, this is the opposite that we said, Hativis HaMukhrachas, that's the opposite of the general movement, right, of what nature, right, which we find like in nature in the natural physical world, because the natural physical world, we said, is influenced by the world above. The spiritual world influences what happens down here. But man is just the opposite. Mamish LaHepech, he's the one down here that influences what happens above. So Ramchal, but I want you to know that even man, even though he said that man differs from anything else that happens in the world. However, he says, not always does man given free will. It's not a total green light that he can choose to be bad all the time, to be good all the time. Well, it depends. This is what Ramchal says. Vilam Soshateda. Kegam ho odamatsmoy, that even man himself, he says, even regarding man, ein ko maiso bechirim. Not all of his actions are subject to free will, he says. In other words, he says, there are some actions of a person that are determined from above, which are not products of his free will. As he says, again, our yeshmem, some of them, as we said, sheyiu mitzad bichirosa, yes, some of the actions of man are based upon his freedom of choice, but the yesh achelim sheyesoyvev lehem mitzad gizera yoyna. But then there are happenings that happen to man based upon the gizera minishamayim. Kavod has certain gizeras which have happened to a person, right? Or Kavod has a reason why a person should go someplace. And the person thinks that he's making that decision because the Kaporka wants him to go someplace. So therefore, man makes a whole cheshem, yeah, I want to go there because of this and this. He doesn't realize that all of these machshavas and all these calculations also come really from above. So in his own mind, he thinks it's free will. He has his free will because he thought that he thought about it on his own. He doesn't realize that these thoughts and his thought process itself was given from the Shemayim above. The Rebbe says, Ramchal, there are other actions of man, that are orchestrated, that because of Gzera, for the sake of his reward or his punishment. Let's say, Kishbochu, the person deserves punishment. So on his own, he's not going to go, right? He's not going to go on his own to do dafka something that's going to hurt him. But if a Kishbochu, right, wants to punish the person, to be more with him, right? So Kishbochu is definitely going to put into his mind that he's going to do something that he's going to lose out. He thought he has a tremendous deal over here, whatever the situation. Or it's the opposite. He deserves to be matriah. So Kishbochu is going to put into his mind, right, invest your money and be matriah. So now Kishbochu is going to, it was greater that. Man thought that he did it on his own free will. No, it wasn't your free will. Kishbochu wanted you to be matriah, so he put that idea. It can go both ways. That's what he says. L'scholoi or l'yonchoi. In other words, in the areas of mitzvahs and averus, you have free will. Because Baruch Hu is not going to influence you. That's your free will. That can be exactly, But when it comes to other areas in receiving reward, to be matzliach, as we said, or the other way, whatever the situation is, so I mean, these are things that can come because of exerim and Hashemayim, and Ramchal says, we will elaborate more, he says, in another area, as in the appropriate place, he says, we don't want to dwell on it, says Ramchal right over here. But Lamaisa, this is the Nikuda, this is what Michal Takeh points out. So we'll stop over here just now for this, and let's take a look here a little bit on the sheet, and we'll see now from Chaim Voloshin, which complements the words of the Ramchal over here. This we try to do to find in the right in the great form of to see that we find that the same ideas and sometimes elaborated on in a little bit of slightly different ways. The first item we have here is something when we learned Ramchal, we did go through the Nefesh HaChaim actually. We did Nefesh HaChaim, we went through this shtickel piece of Ramchal as well. I had Nefesh HaChaim, as a matter of fact. Shal Aleph Perik Yutes. That's the first item over here. Might remind the Olam, Ramchal, we say, which is formulating the connection and the power that man has down here to influence in the upper worlds. Well, Mamish, the same idea is espoused by the Nefesh HaChaim, by Ramchal Voloshin. And he bases this particular segment on the famous dream of Yaakov Avinu, Sulam Mutzav Arzo. where the ladder, right, the foot of the ladder is on the ground. The Roshe Magi Hashemayim, and the Malach Elikim, and the angels are Oilin V'yodim Boy. So first of all, a very interesting observation in Digduk from the Nefesh HaChaim. The way, you know, when all the children, you know, come home, you know, from, whether it's from kindergarten, I don't know up to which grade, when they come home, you know, with the pictures of Yaakov, you know, the ladder, you know. So the way the ladder, you always see that the foot of the ladder is on the ground, right, and you see that the top is trying to reach the sky. It's trying to reach. Chaim Elojan says it was the other way around. The ladder was rooted in Shemayim, and was focusing and was going from Shemayim, going down to earth. What's the raya? It doesn't say Vinei Sulam Mutzav Lo Ores. It doesn't say that the ladder was stationed, right? The Russian doesn't say. Excuse me. It doesn't say Mutzav Bo Ores. It doesn't say Vinei Sulam Mutzav Bo Ores, that the ladder was stationed on the ground. Mutzav Artsa, towards the ground. Lo Ores. Ah, which means it's going. The direction is towards the ground. So where was it rooted? It was rooted in Shemayim. Just the other way around. Let's take a look. Regarding the Mara Sulam, the appearance of the Sulam, the ladder, it says Mutzav Arzo. What does Mutzav Arzo mean? The Loyoma, the Pasuk does not say Mutzav Bo'oretz and Roshay Magi Hashemayim. It does not say that the foot of the ladder was stationed on the ground. El Arzo means Sheperush Alo'oretz, towards the ground. Umashmoi, therefore, what is the understanding of the Pasuk? That the actual root of the ladder was in Shemayim, and from heaven it was evolving and lowering itself ad lo'oretz yagia, until it comes down to the earth. And therefore, what is that ladder? Symbolic. It's a dream. If it's a dream, so what is it symbolic? It's symbolic as the neshama of a person. The sulam is symbolic of the neshama of the person. And in order to simplify the situation, we did not want to get involved with the zohar that the Nefesh HaChaim brings, where the zohar points out that the sulam is a motion for the neshama of a person. The neshama comes from where? The neshama comes from most up high, and the neshama lowers itself, the Kadosh Baruch Hu lowered, until it comes down here to the human body. That's the sulam coming out, the sulam, which the neshama of a person comes from way up high, and ultimately goes lower and lower, because Baruch Hu brought it down to this world, into the body of man. So who are Nishmas Chaim Shel Adam? The sulam is representative of the Nishmas Chaim of a person, right, the neshama of life. Shemisatzeles Kebiyochel, where does it come from? The neshama of a person comes from Minishimas Pivis Baruch Shemoy, from Kadosh Baruch Hu's breath. Can you imagine the neshama of a person is part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's breath? And as we learned once in the Shiurim of the Tanya, as meaning is that the neshama actually is a shtik Rabbi Nishlam, Kibiyachum, which every year has a piece of the Rabbi Nishlam within him. The neshama is a shtik of the Rabbi Nishlam. So every year is a shtikl of Rabbi Nishlam. Because you have a shtikl of the Rabbi Nishlam, a piece of the Rabbi Nishlam, and that is the neshama. Kadosh Baruch Hu's breath, what came out of Kadosh Baruch Hu's being, Kibiyachum. Now, so it points out, Umisham, so from Shemayim, this neshama, Mishtal Sheles, right? It rolls down, Kisulam, like a ladder, and the appearance like a ladder comes down. The Sheles are like a chain. The neshama comes down from uppermost high down and down. Now, Miskasheles im Haruach. Let's remember, without going out to great detail, you know the neshama itself, it consists of three parts. All Sefer Kabbalah. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama. Neshama, Ruach, Nefesh. So it starts out, he says, you have the Neshama comes down, and it's Miskasheres in Ruach. In other words, because it goes from the higher level to down to the lower level. The lower level is Ruach, and then the lower level connects by Ruach Benefesh. So the neshama has, as we said, has to lower itself, takes on different forms. The neshama kebiyachol has to become, let's use a word, physicalized, in a sense to be able to come down to this earthly world. So the neshama connects with the ruach, which is a lower level, and the ruach connects with nefesh, which is even a lower level. Now, Malach Elokim Olam V'Yodim Boy. What does it mean, Malach Elokim Olam V'Yodim Boy? So Chaim Elojan says, what's a simple translation? The Malachim, right, they go up and down the ladder. He says, no. Then a Malach Elokim Olam V'Yodim Boy, in man. In other words, if your neshama is on a high level, then you have an effect on the Malachim. The Malachim are Olam. If your neshama, the soul is your neshama, the neshama goes from high to low. So if the neshama is on a low level, then you have, what you have done, you have ruined, you have lowered the malachim also. Malachi lekim oilim v'yardim, boy, in you, it depends on you, and your interpretation. Boy is not referring to a simple ladder. Boy means you, man. Now, man by his actions determines either to raising up the malachim, or to lowering them. Mamish like the words that we had in the Derech Hashem just now in the Ramchal, that man is not influenced by the upper world, just the opposite. Man has the influence from down here, he goes no matter the malo. He goes from the lower world, he goes up high. Up to the point that we say he has effect and influence on the malachim. That means that the madrigas of the malachim, they hide, they raise, right? Rise and fall, they go up and down. Boy, it's a determined demand. That's what he says here in the next thing. Like I already explained above, says the Nefesh HaChaim. Shehi, HaNefesh HaChaim Shal Olamis, the neshama of man, that is the life of all the worlds. Man's neshama, depending on his actions, determines what happens in all the worlds. Shekol, look at these words. Shekol aliyosom v'yeridosom. V'chol seder hamagom. Kol rega, tolui rak kifi netias maseo, according to the mice of the neshama, the dibura and the dibura of the neshama, umachshav and the machshava, begupo odom kol rega. Kol rega. So it means, I haven't got a better example. It's like a stock that goes up and down every minute. So too the malachim go up and down every second. You call like a man. Then the neshama goes high. But if you say the right thing, malachim go up. You said the wrong thing, malachim down. You're thinking the right thing, malachim down. Thinking the wrong thing. Ma'isa dibur machshavah. Any of the three. The ma'isa of a person, the dibur of a person, the machshavah of a person. But I just thought about it. It's just a machshavah. It's a fleeting. No, machshavah also. There's halach is a machshavah. Pure machshavahs, machshavahs kadosh, and impure machshavahs. These are the things. So that's what Rabbi said. This is in the Kudus Avon. I want to show you, go to the second item we have here. From Sefer Chai Olam, that's from the Stipler. Sefer Chai Olam. The Stipler says the following. The Sefer called Chai Olam, he says, Orche Noida Hadover. The Stipler says, it is quite known, Kiloi Nivro Hodom Loman Chai Olam Azeh. He said, that's elementary, I don't have to discuss that, says the Stipler. It's quite known, man was not created for the sake that the world, Olam Hazeh, should be a takhlus on its own. That's not the purpose. Kim lavad is b'roi yoytzo nishmosu. Okay, that's quite simple. Man was created in this world to use the medium of this world to serve Hashem, right? Yoytzo nishmosu, who formed his neshama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only created man to serve him, look what the Stipler says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in an unquenchable thirst that you should want to serve Hashem. Except, you can ruin the direction, the compass of that thirst, and use that unquenchable thirst that should have been used to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the innate nature of the neshama, but you can ruin that, and it goes haywire, and then it goes awry, that unquenchable thirst is used for taiva soil mazeh, and therefore the person has such a tremendous reader. Because man has a drive, and it's up to man to channel it in the right direction. That's the problem. Look at this type of says. Listen to his words. The koyach hatzim moyen agodo. Man has a tremendous thirst. Nitan bekirboy. Because Baruch Hu gave man a tremendous simoyen godo b'shel avodas habayra yisbar. L'man Yosef oymes he should be add strength and power. Bavidos is baruch shemoy. Asher be'emes ein gvul lemalois umadregos or yoynes bavidos. In other words, man can reach on, he says, man can reach unlimited malos umadregos if he utilizes the ability that Hashem gave him to serve him. However, he says, Orchem kol ha-midois, however, all the midois that man has, mutvois b'yodom b'yif and stomi. Because what we'll put it in b'yif and stomi. B'yif and stomi means is, you have to make the choice where to use that energy. Man was given tremendous energy and drive to accomplish. But it was not given, programmed in one natural direction. Why? Because then you don't have a b'chira. There's a balance. So on the one hand, man was given a tremendous drive. And you can push a button to make a right turn and to use that drive to tremendous heights in the Avodas Hashem. On the other hand, you can use that exact same drive, the exact same energy, and turn it in another direction. Who decided that? You did. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you all the energy. He gave you all the fuel. But you're in the driver's seat to decide, he says, where your own GPS is going to take you to. And that's the Nekuda. Okhen kol amidus mutvois biyodim boifins tomi. Was given into man besam. For odem ubal bechirer. Man is the man of choice. V'yochol ha'al bishon. He is able to utilize it. Al kol ma sheyivcha. Kigoyim. Koyecho ha'ven mushrish benafshim. Man has a natural... Man has a natural, there's a natural attribute of love. Man has the power of love, to love. Because Baruch Hu put into you be the power of love. But it is not defined to love whom and what. There is a power of Ahava, using one example of many things. Man has a natural attribute. He has a natural sense of Ahava. There is a power that man loves. He has a koyach to love, he wants to love. But it is not put into which direction and how to exactly use that ahava. So he says, "Kegon koyach ahava mushrish benafsho." Yes, the koyach of love, the power of love, is rooted in his nefesh. Al ena mushrish by the miyad, but doesn't say to whom. So now man decides. A man chooses. He decides to love whoever finds favor in his eyes. He can choose. You can use that love to love Hashem. You can utilize that. Try to channel it in that direction. Because is the source of all of chayim. The source of all chayim and toiv. As Shikulei Kamikol, everything in this world is nothing by Kodesh Baruch Hu. You can decide to use the koyach of ahava that is within your nature to use it for Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the same with every midah. Every midah, you can use it for good, you can use it for bad. Because these midos are ingrained in your nature. But they are not programmed for good or for bad. You can use it either way. The chain who he says, binyona. Now, let's talk about a thirst, a drive. Ambition, right? Fancy word, ambition. Man has ambition, a she'ifa, right? A man has an ambition. So, the chain who he says, binyona at simoyen of atchuka. Man, right? Has an inborn, right? Has an inborn nature. He has a thirst. He has a chuka, desire. La oisher. Oh, oisher means what he wants to be, glicklich, right? He wants to be fortunate. Every person wants to be matzliach, right? That's natural. Every person, right, has a drive, has a nature, a sense, I want to be matzliach. However, the definition what's called matzloche is not there. People have different definition what's called matzloche. But some matzloche is like, if you read that, what does matzloche mean? What does matzloche? Yes, there is a natural inclination to want to be matzliach. That's in your nature. But to define what it should be, that was not programmed in you, he says. Right? Everybody wants the right? Usher ve'osher, right? That's what they want. Aval einoy mushrish betivoy mal hatoy ve'osher. But what should be good and what should be considered to be fortunate, that's not programmed in what it is. If you have the schus, right? If a person has the schus, and becomes close to the Torah with some anafshel of the kim, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, and he has a thirst for Kodesh Baruch Hu, then zocha yedei tzemayin zed, and he zoche through this thirst lo oir v'admiti lo mayad. He'll have eternal bliss. He'll have eternal bliss ever. It's chad that's endless limitless. However, but man has a bechira, does not make the right choices. Right people make mistakes in life. So avol kishe boyeche betanugi olam hazeh. So if a person takes that nature that he has, right, to be matzliach, and he uses, right, he uses the atzlocha of olam hazeh, the pleasures of olam hazeh, the he who usher shaloi, if that's the definition of glick, what you call glick, if it's on glicklich, right, he wants that fortune. Hatzimoyin oyser shaloi. Listen, the nature first does what it does. If you channel it, it'll do whatever your direction. You step on the gas, it'll go to where you drive, you turn it. The koyach tzemoyin is tremendous. And if you direct it in this direction, it'll go in that direction, you'll have more tithe and more tithe. At the end, you're not going to have anything. You don't have the olam hazeh, you don't have olam haba either. Because the eternal shleim is for the next world, he's not interested. He wasn't working for that. Right? And by the way, he's not satisfied. But even if he is matzliach, by the way, he's not happy. He just continues again and again. Right? More. I don't know if it's matzliach till now. He has a drive to continue more and to continue more and continue more. So at the end of the day, he's always looking for that which he doesn't have. Instead of looking constantly at what he does have, the natural thirst in person, that inclination, is always to look at what he doesn't have. וגם נברו בצימוין עוצו, and he says, לסעבו ישמה שציבו ירוצה משתוקק. He has a tremendous thirst, בכדי לי יש לו אל נסוי, and כמי חייב, כדי בוס פוטה סימבר, as a test. So now, כדי בוס gave you these different drives, כדי בוס gave you all these features, but this is a test, how are you going to use them? And a person therefore has to make the right decisions. There's no easy way out. This is what it is. But you were given all the tools. The question is how you're going to use the tools. So every person that has the tools, what are you doing? And these tools, you plug it in, it'll turn. Question is, what are you going to use the hammer for? What are you going to use the saw for? What are you going to build? Something positive? Something destructive? You can make an atom bomb, destroy the world. You can do a lot of things. Kishbog will give you a lot of tools. You can do a lot of things. And this is the Bechiras HaOdom, to decide in which way it's going to turn. So mentioning here, we had here the Nefesh HaChaim. Let me mention something interesting here regarding the Nefesh HaChaim. The interesting thing is that there was a rich woman, a prominent philanthropist. Her name was Blumke. Bluma was her name. And she was once given a bracha by the Shagis Aryeh. She was given a bracha. The Shagis Aryeh was a rav in Volozhin, by the way. He was a rav in Minsk. He was a rav in Metz. And that's, by the way, where his cave was today, the cave of the Shagis Aryeh, one of the greatest goyim of all time. Shagis Aryeh lived in the early 1700s. He was nifter in 1785. The Shagis Aryeh. So this particular woman received a bracha from the Shagis Aryeh because she took time every week. Shagis Aryeh was very poor, tremendously poor. Barber of communism, Rebbe Sheshiv used to say, you can see what Torah al-Yideat Chak can produce when you're learning Torah. Without, right, for the person who doesn't have come out anything to eat, but yet he pushes it, he subdues his nature, and he learns Torah b'tachat chak with all the difficulty he produces as a sefer Shagis Aryeh. You see the great Torah the person learns when you're not into all these side issues that stand in the way. So the Shagis Aryeh pushes it many times, didn't have what to eat. So this particular woman that used to supply him two challahs every week for Shabbos, so he gave her bracha. You're giving me two challahs? Gave bracha that should become wealthy. He gave a bracha that she would become wealthy, and she would have the schus of building two shuls. One in Minsk, where she lived, and the other in Eretz Yisrael. That was his bracha to her. So time passed, and kachave, the bracha was this time she becomes wealthy. She becomes wealthy, and she builds a shul in Minsk, which is called Blumke's Klois. So people from Minsk would know that there was a shul which lasted for many, many years. It was called Blumke's Klois. That was her shul, on her name. She built that particular shul. As she became older, she decided it was time to go to Eretz Yisrael so she could fulfill the second part of the bracha. Because Shagis Aryeh said, you're going to build one shul here in Minsk, and you're going to build another shul in Eretz Yisrael. So she's getting older. So therefore, she decided it's time to go up to Eretz Yisrael to be able to see the fulfillment of the second part of the bracha, and to see there that a shul was built. That was the second shul that she hoped to build. So before she leaves Europe, she decided to say goodbye to all the great rabbonim that she knew. So she became acquainted with. So she comes to Reb Chaim of Volozhin. She comes to Reb Chaim of Volozhin, and he asked her where she was going. So she explained that she had the bracha of the Shagis Aryeh that she would live to see two shuls. She lived to see two shuls built in her name, one in Minsk, and the other one in Yerushalayim. And now that she's getting on in years, she wanted to see the second part of the dream fulfilled. And Reb Chaim turns to her and said, if you have the assurance of the Shagis Aryeh that you're going to live to build a second shul, what's the rush? Now, the longer you wait, you're going to have more richas yomim, because the bracha the Shagis Aryeh has to be mekuyim. So I just want to tell you something just interesting. So Reb Chaim Volozhin was also a Talmud of the Shagis Aryeh. He's known to be the Talmud of the Goyim. He's also a Talmud of the Shagis Aryeh, and there's a very fascinating thing. Shagis Aryeh and his many gedolim in those days did not own a shas. Every chosin today has a shas, the most beautiful shas. No, the Shagis Aryeh did not have a shas. What happened is, from time to time, he needed to borrow a gemara here, a gemara there. Besides, he couldn't afford it, and it was not as plentiful as it was. You know, he could have it in one city, in one town. Those days, it was one shas, two shas, and to have a complete shas, can have it. By the way, the Maram Shif, who lived in the 1600s, when the great Goyin, a mamish, tremendous genius, who died, by the way, at the age of 40 also, unbelievable, became Rav in Prague. He didn't make it, he was nifter. He's buried in Frankfurt. He next to the Masha, you have in the back of the Gemara Masha, and you have Maram Shif. Unbelievable, Maram Shif. What very big kids are, and you see tremendous genius in the Cheshem, in the mathematics of the Sugya, how he explains it. So the Maram Shif, in one place, because I remember Mesechtes Gittin once, he says, the Mesechtes Bechoyeris, Kimeduma, I think it's Daf over there. Apparently he didn't have the Gemara either. So he relied on his memory and said, I believe it's over there and over there. Great going like that. They didn't have it. So, going back here now to Rishag Yisariyev, near the Shas, was a rich Yid. His name was Rabbi Yitzchok. The Rishag Yisariyev would go to, he had a whole Shas, complete Shas. So he very graciously, it was considered to be a big schus that the Rishag Yisariyev should come and to borrow a Shas from him, a Gemara from him. From time to time we would go, instead of taking the Gemara out, he would sit in the side in the room, he would learn over there, in the house of this particular Rabbi Yitzchok. Particular time, in those days, by the way, women gave birth through midwives. They didn't go to a hospital. So it happened that the wife of Rabbi Yitzchok was giving birth, and the Shagizari happened to be in another room, and he was learning. And the pain that she had in childbirth was immense, was tremendous. But Lamaisa, she was Mizgaber. She was Mizgaber. She over to subdue the pain, not to cry out, because she didn't want to be mevatel that the Shagisari was learning in the next room. Shouldn't be bittel toyer for him hearing the screams. You can imagine be screaming loud. It would bother him to hear Afsar. He would have Sar, you know, to hear the pain that she's going through. So she subdued her pain. She subdued her pain and Mamish contained herself not to cry out from the tsar of the pain. It shouldn't stare the Shagisari. The Shagisari found out about that. He became very emotional about it. But see, the woman had such sensitivity for the bittul Torah of somebody learning. So he said to her as following, he said, I'm going to give you a brocha. She had two sons that were born. These two sons should become one of the greatest Gedol Yisrael. One was Reb Chaim Volozhin, and one turned out to be Reb Zalman of Volozhin. The bracha of the Shagisari. So now you can understand also, Reb Chaim Volozhin said to that woman, what's the rush? You have a bracha of the Shagisari. I know the bracha of the Shagisari. They've become Bikurian. You don't have to worry about it. That's the goddess of Reisad, the Shagisari. And a little bit of Atsogi, the goddess of man in general. Okay.